You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Rimmel. This is part two of this week's mailbag. Part one went up yesterday. We talked about New Year's resolutions for the Heat, how Justice Winslow and Goran Dragic can coexist. So check that out for those topics. But today, we'll be talking about what the Heat's plan for Wayne Ellington is and our thoughts on the Sunset Vice jerseys. But let's start with this question from Chicharito Marito, who asks, assuming Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow is the backcourt of the future and Bam is our elite rim-running center, would you prefer an elite wing scorer, in parentheses Durant type, or an elite stretch four as the number one scoring option slash franchise player? Who is the final piece, David?
That's an interesting question. And I guess Richardson and Winslow are the backcourt of the future, although not the immediate one, because, of course, we've got a couple more years of Dion Waiters left, and who knows what will happen with Goran Dragic's contract, as we discussed in the previous podcast. So there are questions as far as the backcourt of the future is concerned. I guess, ideally, it would be Justice and Josh. Now, I've got a question also for you, though. What's an elite stretch four? Who is that elite stretch four in today's league?
I mean, Anthony Davis is technically a four now, or like he goes between four and the five. So I'm thinking, is there an elite stretch four? I guess, yeah, Kristaps Porzingis, the Anthony Davis types who can play alongside, those centers who can stretch the floor and play alongside like a Bam Adebayo, you know, because like Anthony Davis is showing that he could play alongside Julius Randle, right? Who's kind of like this rim running like bulldozer of a center who I'm not like him and Bam aren't quite the same, but he, you know, Julius Randle is also not a floor spacer. Mm-hmm. So maybe something like that.
So that's an interesting, it seems like there are very few options to fulfill that perspective there, but I would still tend to gravitate anyway towards the elite wing player. Somebody like a KD, I think, fits that incredibly well. And I mean, there are probably 29 other teams that would love a Kevin Durant on their roster. But I think, you know, a guy like KD is so unique and probably so undervalued because of the reputation that he's developed after leaving Oklahoma City. But, you know, he can play multiple positions. He's played the five before. He's a great defender. He's a great shot blocker. He can create for others, but he's, of course, one of the most gifted scorers in NBA history, too. So if you could have a player like Durant, I think any team would love to add him. And to a roster that has Richardson, Winslow, and Adebayo, I think you would absolutely want a guy like Durant. And I think, you know, we talked about this in the previous episode as well. A guy like James Johnson shows that you can have a less than elite level four who can still make a valuable contribution. I mean, I think there are a lot more guys like that around the league. And I think that's partly because as players get older, they're no longer wings. I think in small ball leagues, small ball teams around the league or small ball lineups, guys that might have played a two at some point. Look at Vince Carter. I mean, he plays the 4-5 now in some stretches. And he was a two guard when he was in the league. Right. I mean, when he was younger. So I think
Jared Dudley in Brooklyn.
Dudley, yeah, very good point. I was going to bring him up as well. So I think you can see guys that can still add value and still play at a fairly decent level that may not necessarily look like a two or a four nowadays, but could play that down the road and still contribute and add versatility at that position. And I think you can fill in, you can have filler at that position as long as you have elite level talent at the others.
Yeah, I mean, credit the Heat for sort of kicking that off with Shane Battier, right?
Good point.
I don't want to, obviously every team would want Durant. Okay, fine. But an elite wing scorer versus an elite stretch four still, taking the elite Durant types out of that, but just a good wing scorer to fill in that space that is right now being filled by Rodney Magruder.
How about this? I mean, Klay Thompson versus Anthony Davis. Who would you rather have on this roster?
Anthony Davis.
Right. That's the thing. I mean,
but like,
you're gonna,
so let, okay, but like, but Durant or Anthony Davis, you'd pick Durant. So like, but the Heat aren't getting Durant, and they're not getting Anthony Davis. Like, that's not happening. So what?
Okay, so how about Klay
maybe
Thompson
like a B level? Klay Thompson's a shooting guard. What about Tobias Harris? That's the kind of guy that sticks out to me. A guy with isolation potential, but can handle the ball, do a few things out of pick and roll. He could make decisions and do stuff when the ball finds him.
Does he play the wing and for the Los Angeles Clippers?
He's currently playing small forward for the Clippers.
Okay,
but he can. You're right. I mean, he's a combo forward. He could play both. Like, but he's very capable and more than capable. I mean, he's playing the small forward position at an all-star level right now. So, like Tobias Harris, to me. A guy like that, or even, you know, this isn't a good comparison. Like, right now, Rudy Gay wouldn't be good. But, like, Rudy Gay of, like, 3 or 4 years ago, when he, like, just got into his, like, efficiency groove. Something like that. I just think that Miami needs specifically length at that 3 spot and a guy who can just shoot over people and score. And to me, I would rather have that for all of the reasons that you said before, just how that increase, like that just, it provides so much more versatility for the roster, and you can find guys at the 4 spot. That is sort of the new role player of the NBA, is that utility 4 kind of guy.
How about this one? One more. How about Kawhi Leonard filling that elite wing spot versus LeBron James?
I would take LeBron every day of the week at whatever position he was playing, but.
No, it's interesting. I mean, I think most people,
well, I think this is a good question if you kind of gear it towards the NBA draft, right? Because the Heat are going to be picking in the middle of the first round somewhere.
Zion,
do they look for a stretch four type? You know, I mean, it depends on who's available, obviously. But are they looking for a stretch four to play next to Bam, or are they looking for a wing to play alongside that backcourt of Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow? I would bet that they're looking for a wing. I mean, again, it depends on who's available, but like, if you had your pick, I think that they'd be specifically looking for a wing if they're listing their needs.
Yeah, I think so. And probably somebody okay. Let's look at what that definition would probably be. 6'7" to 6'9", with enough width and length that could switch to either forward position, but would be uncomfortable guarding a 2 or a smaller backcourt player. I mean, I think that's just what you need. And maybe that sounds a little too vague, but hell, that's the reality. I mean,
yeah.
Scottie Pippen would have played positions 1 through 4 in today's league, and he was almost exclusively a 3, playing alongside Michael Jordan. Yeah. So I mean, a guy who can shoot
from the perimeter, in addition to all the defensive versatility, a guy who could space the floor. Let's get to this next question from PJ Bland, who writes in. So what's the deal with Wayne Ellington? Is a trade brewing or something? It's messed up. Spo isn't playing him after he showed loyalty to Miami and didn't join another team this summer when he had better offers. And then Dylan asks, should Miami try to trade Wayne Ellington? He's pretty much fallen out of the rotation. David, we've talked about Wayne Ellington showing the loyalty to Miami. He's been very happy with the Heat and the way he's sort of turned around his career from just journeyman to a valuable 3-point specialist on a roster. And because of the nature of his contract, he basically has to approve any trade. So that is a real thing that the Heat would have to deal with if they wanted to trade Wayne Ellington. I'm under the belief that Ellington's fallen out of the rotation just because other guys are better. Derek Jones Jr. is giving them something specifically on the offensive boards that Spoelstra has been harping on since before the season started. He wanted to be the best offensive rebounding team in the league. Derek Jones Jr. is super good at that, so he's playing Derek Jones Jr. a bunch of minutes. Ronnie Magruder has given Spoelstra no reason to take him out of the lineup. Tyler Johnson is playing really well defensively in a way that Wayne Ellington just isn't capable of doing. And so for those reasons, I think it's not necessarily a reflection on Wayne Ellington, but it's just Spo doubling down on being a really good rebounding team and a really good defensive team, and Ellington doesn't help in those two things, so he's fallen out of the rotation.
Well, it is a reflection on Ellington in that case, then. It's a reflection that he cannot defend at a high level, and I think you look at a team like Miami that's using the zone as often as they do, or whatever, in whatever segments of the game that they feel comfortable using that zone to throw off an opponent, and Wayne Ellington just can't fit into those kinds of lineups. He's not switchy enough. He's not mobile enough to go from one player to another. You know, it makes things difficult if Miami's trying to win. And it's unfortunate because I think most of this took place over the course of Ellington while he was nursing an injury. He was kind of out of that lineup for a bit there. And Spoelstra had to find another way of changing things up. And then Wayne comes back and he's no longer really playable. He just doesn't fit into what they're trying to do. It is weird, you know, to see a player phased out that much, especially one who is, I think, so widely embraced around the front office. They love his work ethic, his ability to transform into the player that he's become. You know, he felt secure here. He bought a house here. That's something he had never done throughout his NBA career because he was always playing elsewhere or for a limited amount of time. He never knew what his future would hold. He saw himself being a part of this team's future, regardless of the fact that he's entering into free agency next year. So, you know, I'm not quite sure if there have been discussions behind the scenes. I'm not sure if he's already aware of a reduced role. I feel like he's comfortable enough with the coaches in the front office where he could talk openly with them and they could be straight with him and say, look, this is what's going to happen, etc. That's my feeling anyway, my assumption. Yeah. But it does seem a little weird that they would just kind of phase him out without him being privy to their plans and what's going to happen with his future and his career. Yeah. Because it's not just him too. It's his wife, his kids. You know, he's got a family here. And that's a part of the game that we all hate. Like, as much as everybody can reduce it to the cliche of it's just a business, that kind of just business mentality can impact people in a really negative way. And so I hope that things will get smoothed over. Maybe there's a lingering injury issue that we have not heard about it. I don't think that's the case. Even as recently as yesterday or 2 days ago, they were reporting that Wayne Ellington was sick, but he would be available against the Timberwolves. He did not play a single minute against Minnesota. So we're starting to see him phased out more and more. And you know, those DNP CDs are racking up there. And I can't believe that he would just be able to casually go along with those if he didn't have some kind of information that we're not privy to.
And, you know, there's another, like, Spo has trimmed the rotation down a bit, right? And it's, quote-unquote, helped that guys like Dragic and Dion Waiters haven't been available. But he's basically playing 10 guys. And when we talk about why Wayne Ellington has fallen out of the rotation, it's, again, because Roddy McGruder, Derrick Jones Jr., and Tyler Johnson have just outplayed him. And that is, it's not even the business part. That's just basketball. Like, if you're not playing as good as the other guys, you're not going to play as much. And Spoelstra can't just go out there and just play 11 and 12 guys a game. There's just, he's tried that. It didn't work. They lost a lot when they did that because you're taking your best players off the floor for really no reason because they're more than capable of playing the minutes that you can give them in an 8 to 10 man rotation. So if we know Spoelstra, and we do know Spoelstra, if Ellington is on this team, he will have a moment this year. He will get back into the rotation. Things will happen. Guys will get injured. Ellington will be used again. It's not like he's out of the rotation forever. I do think Miami is looking to trade him. And if you're Ellington, you mentioned, you know, all the things off the court there, but you're fortunate where you basically have to approve any kind of trade. And so the teams that could use Ellington that would be willing to, you know, take a flyer on him for half of a year, Philadelphia and the Lakers pop out immediately. The Lakers want nothing but expiring contracts. Well, that's what Ellington is. Philadelphia obviously has an Ellington connection. They could use a guy like Ellington off the bench. He would be perfect for that team. And I think Ellington would welcome it maybe if he had to get traded. I mean, this is a way for possibly him to accept a trade. You mentioned the fact that he likes Miami. Well, he bought the house. Well, maybe he'd be willing to move if it meant getting playing time. And maybe this is a way of like saying, like, Ellington, look, man, like, we love you. We love everything you've done for us. We love the fact that you've gotten in shape. We paid you but because we wanted you here, but you're not playing here. So would you prefer doing that or going somewhere where you can play? And I bet Wayne Ellington would pick going somewhere where he can play. And I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm not saying that they're conspiring against Wayne Ellington. It's just that, like we said, Ellington's not as good as the guys that are playing over him. That's a fact. And I think he could play in L.A. or Philadelphia. And I do think that Ellington will get traded by the trade deadline.
Interesting.
What do you think Ellington will be traded, or?
I mean,
it seems like the only option here.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep thinking that what happened last summer and what's happened over the last three seasons that he's been with Miami is just him becoming more of a long term fixture of this team somehow, some way. I think that as much of a value as his contract provides, because he is an elite shooter, etc., I still think that they would rather find a way to trade other players, either Goran or Dion. I don't know. I'm stuck there because I'm not sure how they would find a suitable partner to take on either Goran's or Dion's contract. But at the same time, I just don't know. I just don't see it. Like, I can't. I just don't think that. I find it hard to believe that somebody who was relied upon so heavily by Eric Spoelstra, not just this early this season, but all of last year, where he was bailing out Miami's offense. I just can't see that he could fall out of favor so quickly. He's a tireless worker, unless he came back this summer out of shape or something like that, and we don't think that's the case.
Well, I think is that just kind of a reflection of the evolution of this roster of guys just, you know, guys stepping up, guys like Winslow and Richardson and Bam just forcing their way into not only rotation minutes, but more minutes, a majority of the minutes, big chunks of what this team does on the floor. I mean, I think it's a little bit of that too. You know, we knew this was going to happen. Maybe not with Wayne Ellington, but with somebody. Like, going into the season, somebody wasn't going to play. This team has 14 playable guys. Somebody wasn't going to play. You know, several people weren't going to play. Unfortunately for Ellington, it's been him. But like you said, like, yeah, would you rather trade a Tyler Johnson? Probably, just because of the nature of that contract, even though he's outplayed Ellington to this point. But Ellington is the most tradable guy on the roster. And let's not forget, Mick Garrison still is probably eyeing that luxury tax bill and saying, like, I really don't want to pay this, guys. Find a way to get under it. And that could ultimately decide more than anything what happens with Ellington. Let's go to our next question and our last question for our mailbag this week. This one comes from Claudia, who writes in, I'm in love with the Sunset Vice jerseys. Are you? David, I know you're not a big fan of the Vice look. Does that still stand with our bright neon pink Sunset Vice jerseys?
I hate to disappoint my favorite yoga instructor, but no, I am not a fan of the Sunset Vice jerseys.
Is it because they're 1-2 in the Sunset Vice jerseys? Or you just don't like the color?
That doesn't help. I mean, Miami's had some atrocious designs in the past. I think I'm looking at you, Homestrong jerseys. we can agree that those are the worst in Heat history. Yes.
Yeah, and the black tie jerseys are not far.
Those. I didn't think they were that bad. I didn't hate them as much as you do.
They were so bad, and the whiteout jerseys and the blackout jerseys were also equally horrible. That was all within like the same three or four year period. That was dark days. I mean, I know that the Heat have never been more successful in the entire franchise history, but dark days. Dark days for jersey people.
What's wrong with the Heat blackout jerseys? Like, I'm looking at those right now. I mean, first of all,
the numbers are black and the jersey is black. I can't see anything. It's just big black. It's like a black blob of jersey. What is that? Like, where's the creativity? It's just like, all right, let's make that black. Let's make that part black.
You know what? Just partial to the Vice jerseys because you wrote a great piece about why, you know, the origin.
No, they look dope.
I know you've felt this way long before you took your deep dive investigating the nature of the Vice jerseys. I like the blackout ones. I guess I'm just a simple.
The whiteout ones were even worse. They looked like pajamas. They looked like ghostly nightgowns.
Ooh, that sounds that sounds pretty bad. I'm just not a fan of that Sunset Vice color schemes. I really, it's just too bright for my taste. I can't wrap my mind around it, man. I'm sorry. Like, I see those and it's just so bright. Look, I hated Miami Vice, the TV show. Didn't even like the Michael Mann movie from a few years ago. I'm all viced out. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
So even the Vice night jerseys, the black ones, you didn't even like the bright trims and stuff with that.
Those are much more tolerable than Sunset Vice. But Claudia's question specifically about Sunset Vice, not a big fan.
So when we were at the game, that Milwaukee game, I already liked the Vice campaign. I fell in love with the Vice campaign even more. I think the arena looks amazing. I think I think a lot of people are really embracing it. It's a lot of fun. It adds a certain energy. That's kind of the point of it. I don't think that there's a better campaign for these alternative jerseys that Nike and the NBA have put out better than what the Heat have been doing over the last couple of years. I'm really excited for the blue ones that are obviously going to come out next year. I mean, that just seems like a given at this point. So,
see that maybe I could appreciate the blue. I like the blue a little bit.
All right. I love the pink. I actually wasn't really big on the pink when we got like the press release and, you know, in your email, you're clicking on the PDFs of the, I'm like, oh, that's a little out there. That's pretty audacious. Like, that's really, really bright. But then we, you know, you see them in person and they look really good. I don't know. They look really good. For a long time, I loved those Miami Floridian jerseys that, I think that was it year one of the big three Heat. I think they wore them. Might have been year two.
Yeah, it might have been year two.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was in the first half.
Year two, because I remember the giveaway includes Shane Battier.
That's right. So I love those. These pink Vice jerseys bring those same sort of feelings to me. And I'm all about it. I don't know where it ranks as far as Vice.
How do you feel about the Prince-inspired Wolves jerseys?
I think that's cool for them. Like, I don't know. Like, I like Prince. I have nothing against Prince. I just, like, he doesn't, like, hit any emotional things for me. So,
wow.
But, I mean, I shouldn't say that either. I mean, there's Prince songs that, like, move me like anybody, but whatever. So, as far as my rankings,
Claudia's opened up a whole doorway here. We got to find out more about what songs move Wes from Prince.
Well, that's a whole other podcast. I want to rank my three Vice jerseys, and I want you to do the same.
Okay.
Rank them in order. I'll go first. Black, pink, white.
I'll switch white and pink. I think pink are my least favorite of them.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sorry.
Yeah, white. No, it's fine. Hey, that's fine. And so Vice jerseys. So what's... Okay. Vice jerseys in like the tier of all Heat jerseys. You'd prefer all of just like the regular traditional color schemes over anything Vice?
Yeah, I favor the red ones, like in long term, like as far as historic Heat jerseys.
Right.
I like the all red version, the Christmas version from a few years ago. Those were pretty nice.
Oh, those were good.
Yeah. I don't know why the heck we don't see them anymore. Different company, I guess.
Adidas. Yeah.
It's weird. What happens to all these jerseys when they're done? Do they give them to the players? Do they trash them?
So when we were in the, I don't know. I think they get to keep them. But a funny thing, Tyler Johnson, when it was after the Milwaukee game, Tyler Johnson got a pink Vice jersey, Tyler Johnson pink Vice jersey, and he actually put it underneath his Nike Tech Fleece thing. Like, he just, like, after the game, walked out with a Tyler Johnson pink Vice jersey on. So I think Tyler Johnson really likes the pink jerseys, too.
He's stealing them.
Well, I don't think it was his game jersey.
You just accused Tyler Johnson of stealing the jersey. What happens to the poor equipment manager that's going to get
fired? What he should have done was go grab Dwayne Wade's jersey. Be like, you know what? Everybody on all these other teams are getting Dwayne Wade jerseys all year long. I'm getting mine.
You know what else Tyler Johnson did? I don't think you noticed this because I think you were in a scrum talking to Dwayne Wade. As he was walking out the arena, before he stole the jersey that you're accusing him of stealing, he tossed his dirty laundry at Josh Richardson, which is kind of disgusting.
Really?
Yes, he did.
That's disgusting.
Richardson was not a big fan. I mean, it was all in play.
If Tyler Johnson shows up with another missed tooth, we know why.
It was at his feet. But you know, Richardson had just put on his kicks, and he was not too happy about that. But that was something there.
Not cool, Tyler.
Just a joke between friends and teammates, but still.
Not cool, Tyler. All right. Well, I think we end on the laundry story. So that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, and leave us a rating or review while you're there. Connect on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.